Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
You need to do a cover of this full time. We just need you doing that. Instead of having the actual song, we just need you over the music doing that.
I have no idea. I have no idea what he's saying, but
we've been doing this show for a while. I've heard that song literally probably hundreds of times, and I have no idea.
That's okay, though. You get probably whatever y'all do in y'all spare time, you and LZ, you know, when y'all start looking at the ceilings and stuff. You play this, I'm sure, and get some cocktails in you. You understand what I'm
saying? Oh, that.
That.
Now I understand.
Travis is just like, what?
I didn't quite know where you were going with that. Now I have a better idea. Yes, LZ and I do share a common interest in that. That's a fair point.
That's very true.
Yeah. Paul Pierce was talking and saying crazy stuff about LeBron James again. This is what he does with LeBron James, is that clearly, if you listen to Kendrick Perkins, this goes way back to when LeBron came into the league and LeBron was the chosen one and the king, and that put Paul Pierce's nose out of joint, reportedly. There was an incident where Paul Pierce kind of spat in his direction when LeBron was on the bench early in his career, and they've never had a relationship, which is fine. Which is fine. Not all great players have to get along. Not all guys need to be on the same page and love each other. We saw Michael and Isaiah. This is, you know, 30, 40 years later, and Michael still hates Isaiah's guts. That's fine. I don't care about that. What I do care about is some level of intellectual honesty, and this is not intellectual honesty. This is Paul Pierce. Let's take a listen to him yesterday saying his top five players of all time. And it does not include LeBron James, which by definition is intellectually dishonest. Listen to this.
Come on, man.
So who are you blaming this on? Who are you blaming this on?
I'm not blaming it on anything. I'm saying you don't need to make an organization great in order to be one of the greatest of all time. I don't have an obligation.
I didn't say he wasn't the greatest of all time. I did not
you
say
just said
he was.
He's not top five on your ring. That's the
he's
way
not
this
top five.
Off.
You want to hear my top five? You want to hear it again?
Sure.
You want to hear it again? Jordan.
Sure, let me know.
Kareem, Russell, and you know who the fourth one is? Magic.
Who's the fifth?
Now you know who's in my top five?
I'm not going to say nothing right now.
Kobe Bryant.
Come on.
That's my top five. Argue with it.
Ah, PP that got himself. PP got caught with his head in the cookie jar. Who was that interviewing him or talking to him?
It was Jason Williams.
So Jay Will, I thought that's who it was, but I wasn't for sure. Jay Will said, "You ain't got him in the top." I didn't say he wasn't the greatest of all time. Well, wait a minute, man. You ain't got him in the top five. So that eliminates him from being the greatest of all time. Because if you didn't say he wasn't the greatest of all time, and you're trying to say he is the greatest of all time, but you don't have him in the top five, that's a little confusing, wouldn't y'all say?
T, this is why I used the term intellectually dishonest a few seconds ago, because it's ridiculous. You can't be the greatest of all time and not the top five.
That's
what I'm saying. You can't be the all-time leading scorer in NBA history, which he's going to be almost certainly. You can't be top 10 in assists, which he already is. And you can't be top 10 in steals ultimately, which he's probably going to be. And then look at me with a straight face and say, nah, not one of the five best ever. It's ridiculous. It's offensive, honestly.
Well, there's some envy that's there. There's some hostility that's there from the past, and he allowed it to get him caught up in the moment to make a decision to discredit his basketball skill set to put him in the top five. And intellectually dishonest. You hear that, Jorge? I don't think he ever heard those two words put together before.
No, stop.
And so when you look at it, it's a I'm caught in the moment type situation by Paul, and he doesn't really honestly believe that. You know how people say something, it's like, man, he really doesn't believe what he just said. He's just saying it, but he really doesn't believe it. Like, he does not believe it, because I'm sure his kids heard it and they probably looked at him the same, daddy. What you are you smoking? Are you drunk? What's wrong?
Listen, it's not a good look, and hopefully he can come back and kind of clean it up to help himself out, because there that really just exposes, like, with Michael Jordan's beef with Isaiah Thomas, you understand the history of that, you get it, and you understand both sides that both players are coming from. With this, you also get it. It's hate. It's not anything other than I don't like you. And it's unfortunate because LeBron James does not and has never owned Sports Illustrated. So it wasn't his choice to put those words on his, you know, cover. The fact that he's called King James is a play on the King James Bible, which is based on an actual King James. He didn't create the Bible so he could have that name one day. It's a play on words.
But right? People, though, LZ, though, but people just, that's how it is, man. I'm a living witness of it. Okay, when you get that envy and that jealousy and that hate in your heart for a person, people going to attack you any type of way they can. I mean, they go, you know, it's so funny. One of my favorite ones is you hear, oh, he wasn't even that fast, man. I don't understand how they took him number one. First of all, they don't take skill position players at the top of the draft that can't run, fools. If you know anything about the history of the National Football League. Skill position players outside of a quarterback, if you can't pick them up and put them down, they don't get drafted in the top five picks of the NFL draft. That just does not happen, let alone number one overall. So you always hear those sort of things. Why? I don't understand why they gave him a shoe. He ain't that good. I don't understand why they put him in the Pro Bowl. He ain't that good. Why he on TV? He ain't that good. You know, it's like, man, just you go handle your business, be happy with your career, and leave mine alone. Because if you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all.
I hear what you're saying, and I understand.
Because you'll never be me. See, if I'm LeBron, though, if I was Lebron, though, I'd chirp back, though. I would. Say, man,
sometimes LeBron does. Sometimes LeBron
does. Yeah, but
I
hit him. But see, man, I'm going to cut to the white meat like Draymond did. Ooh, Draymond scorched him. But, you know, Paul Pierce might be the best basketball player to ever come out of the city of L.A. And when he went on his farewell tour that time, Draymond kind of stuck it
to him. Not kind of.
I know the way we felt about it, but I don't know if Paul felt a certain way about it.
Did you see his face? Because the camera showed you Paul's face. It's broke. Oh, it's cracked. Draymond was savage with the cutting to the white meat with the notion of they don't love you like that. And I mean, ultimately, that's what Kendrick Perkins was talking about at the beginning of this feud. All this love for LeBron James, and they don't love you, Paul, like that.
But that's look, Paul's a Hall of Famer. It's okay. You had one of the best careers in the NBA history as far as your career goes. You shouldn't get caught up in worrying about LeBron and trying to say things that discredit who he is as a player, because it's going to ultimately make you look stupid. If you said to me, LeBron doesn't shoot as pure as I did, then I'd be like, oh, okay, that probably makes sense, right? I mean, Paul was a pretty good shooter. So I would say, okay, I'll get a nod to Paul on that one. He's at the bottom of the net pretty good. But that's about as far as it go, right? You can't say he ain't a top five pick. But if you want to have a basketball argument to discredit him on something, pick something you was good at and he wasn't good at.
But take it away from Paul Pierce specifically for a second, because I think this is not exclusive to Paul Pierce.
It's not at all.
Other players, other retired players, current players, there seems to be this deal with LeBron specifically that is – and you know what? It's not all that it's cracked up to be. You know what? It's not as good as this, that, or the next thing. And like you said, Key, I understand maybe individually saying that player X does something better than LeBron. Okay, fine. But the collective of it all, there always seems to be this foot on the brake when it comes to talking about LeBron James, that people are very reluctant to give him the credit that he's very clearly earned. It can't be about his game, because his game speaks for itself. It can't be about his activity off of the court, because he's incredibly active and outspoken and involved. I just don't understand where this dislike of this man comes from. I understand being jealous of his accomplishments, because he's one of the most accomplished players of all time. But it seems like it's more than that. It's not just, damn, he did more than me, got more championships, more MVPs. That sort of jealousy I can kind of sort of wrap my head around. But I really dislike this guy. I don't want him to have success. I want to see him less than this guy. That part I don't get, because it's not just Paul Pierce. It seems like that's a theme that runs through a lot of different people in the media, on the court, away from the court, that LeBron James should be universally liked, or at least as near to it as anybody can possibly be. And yet there's a whole bunch of people that dislike this man, and I don't get it.
Listen, let me tell you something. Go ahead.
Let me ask y'all something. And you said universally disliked by a whole lot of people. Are we talking about non-athletes or athletes or a combination of both?
Across the board.
Okay, but so when you talk about across the board, some people don't like his stands, okay, which is, okay, fine. You don't like what he stands for. You don't like how he approaches doing things. Okay, that's one man's opinion. Right? That's how they feel. Some people don't like his style of play. Okay, well, you don't like his style of play. He's still one of the greatest players ever played the game. So you're going to always have people biting and bickering at you for different things because you stand up for your rights, or you stand up for rights of others, and you voice your opinion on political issues or whatever it may be. People are not going to like you because of that. They're going to say dribble and play basketball like the young lady said that works for Fox, because that's her angle toward LeBron. And little did she know, she didn't do nothing but boost him and not hurt him with her sly comments. So when you start to break everything down, he's still winning. He's still winning.
It's very difficult if you're a true competitor to give up the ghost while you're still competing against that player. So if I look at the history of this conversation, and I don't even want to call it rivals, because the truth is LeBron, they're not real rivals, because their careers touched the way that Kobe and Jordan's touched, but they were just on different spectrums of their career arc. So I'm not going to say they're true rivals in that sense, but what I will say, they've had some really epic battles, and LeBron James has come out on top, most of them during the postseason, which is where it really counts. But even if you were to just pull back from that, and say, okay, when they're competing, I get it. But now that you're retired and you're being paid by ESPN to provide analysis, you got to be able to at least joke about it. Like Shaq and Charles Barkley, they at least are able to clown each other a little bit about the fact that, you know, there's a gap in terms of championships between the two of them. So you still feel comfortable and you can still listen to Charles Barkley because he's in on the joke. Paul Pierce isn't in on the joke. He's trying to present these arguments like they're valid and in a vacuum. We all know the deal. And that's the reason why he looks so bad. If he at least was able to clown himself a little bit and say, I asked to guard LeBron James and he dropped 50 on me, maybe I should have done that. Then, you know what I'm saying? Then we can listen to what he has to say with a little bit more sort of validity. But the fact that he won't give up the ghost, and he's still acting like he's on the court competing against him, he looks ridiculous.
The part about people being upset with LeBron politically, I get that. People are entrenched in their positions, and if somebody's on the other side, they're going to not like that guy. I get that part. The part that makes no sense to me, and this goes to what you were kind of saying, LZ, as well, is if let's go back to what we were talking about yesterday, that LeBron James he comes into the league as a teenager, fresh out of high school, and that very first season they're under 500. Since then, they haven't done anything other than win more than they lose and go to the finals about every other season on average over the course of a 20-year career. He dragged a bunch of guys to the finals when he was a very young player in this league, and they had virtually no help along the way. And what do we decide to focus on? And when I say we, I'm talking about sports media. I'm talking about other players that talk about this every day. We talk about the fact, yeah, he's lost in the finals 6 times. Okay, fine. He took guys like Boobie Gibson to the finals. He took a bunch of plumbers and slugs to the finals early in his career.
No, what he did is
teams were not loaded with tons of talent, and he wins with these. And that's that's used as an example of why he's not something as opposed to why he is something when we go out of our way to make Michael Jordan the exact opposite. This is the point I don't get.
Well, Michael Jordan is beloved differently, though. Jordan is beloved because Jordan was the first to do it the way that he did it. And everybody else is going to be compared and measured thereafter. So you're never going to be authentic in this particular generation. You know, it's going to take 10 years from now for LeBron James to be authentic like Michael Jordan, because Jordan was the first. We all was there. We remember. As time goes on, people only remember LeBron James. Michael Jordan will become the Bill Russell of his basketball generation, where people will be like, oh, okay, he played back then. Oh, okay, he won 6 championships. And they will be focused in more on the LeBron and the Mellos and so on and so on. It's okay, though, for people to dislike him.
The reality is that you see this a lot. And, you know, the example that I think of as well is the way that a lot of the tennis greats used to talk about Serena Williams. They didn't want to give her her credit. And so they looked for 1,001 different ways to say what she was doing wasn't that impressive. At first it was, well, she's not facing any greats. Well, you know why? She didn't let them be great. Sharapova could have been great, but every single time Serena saw her, she was like, no, I'm about to whoop your ass. Same thing with her sister Venus.
I got a chance. You know, hey, you know, I got a chance to see a couple of those up close in person.
Yeah, I know you did. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Venus. She would whoop her sister's ass. but you still had people on the desk trying to find things to say why she wasn't the greatest. But eventually it got to the point in which it was ridiculous and they just go ahead and say she's the greatest. But it took a long time. The same thing is happening with LeBron James. Oh, the East is weak this year. Oh, he lost in the finals. They're looking for reasons to not give him his credit, but it's going to come a point in which you're just going to start looking foolish. And just like they gave up the ghost for Serena, they're going to give it up for LeBron.
We've already passed that point.
So here's the new one.
If you're still doing that, you're doing it wrong.
But you know, period. But you know the new one, right? The East was weak. Was the old? You know what the new one is, LZ?
What?
He had to go get AD to have the Lakers compete.
Yeah, Scottie Pippen won more right. without Michael Jordan than Michael Jordan won without Scottie Pippen. Though, we're done.
You know that's the new one, though. Oh, he had to go get AD
with
the Lakers because he couldn't by himself.
But doesn't make it fact.
I understand that, but as I said to you before, they always going to find something to say. They're always going to find something to say. They talk about people. People talk about people all the time. That's why when you always ask me, Travis, you say, did that ever bother you? You ever pay attention? No. No, hell no. Because if I sit up and I listen to all of the naysayers, I wouldn't be in the position that I am in today. You can't pay that stuff any attention.
Maybe if LeBron went and became an all-pro wide receiver, they would look at him differently, because apparently that was nearly a thing. We'll get into that next. And how far could Key have gotten him into the league? It's coming up on the Morning Show on 710 ESPN. Key, let me ask you something. Do you remember your high school stats by chance, like off the top of your head? Do you remember how many touchdowns you had, like your junior year, for instance?
I don't. I think I had 12 my senior year.
12 TDs?
Yeah, 12 for like, I had like something crazy, like 36 catches for like 1,200 yards and 12 touchdowns.
Okay, so 36, 1,200 yards and 12 touchdowns. Here are LeBron James's stats as a high school junior. 57 catches, nearly 1,200 yards, 1,160 yards, and 16 touchdowns. Okay, so you were the number one pick in the draft, went on and had a very, very good NFL career. What a Super Bowl. I mean, your career speaks for itself. LeBron James's numbers were about the same as yours. Are we talking about – I know you said that if you had him for, what did you say, a couple months, you could get him ready to go?
No, I said right now, if I had him
right.
for a month. Right now.
A month.
As right now, right today, at however old he is.
Right.
Give me a month with him, and he going to the Pro Bowl at the end of the season.
So, okay, that's
once
him
I turn
now,
him, once I turn him over to their staff and their staff get him right in training camp and he learns everything that they're doing.
Right.
Because I'm going to get him right on the nuances of the position.
So that's you getting your hands on him as a 30-something-year-old guy, right?
Yes.
If he's putting up 57, 1,160 yards, and 16 touchdowns as a high school junior, what are we talking about if he just rolls straight into college football, does his, you know, 2 or 3 years in the college game, and then goes into the NFL? Are we talking about Keyshawn Johnson? Are we talking about Randy Moss? Are we talking about T.O.? Is he one of those dudes?
You know, I don't know if he would have been that as a receiver because his body type. I mean, he would be too big. I mean, he would 6'7". How much he weigh?
260 something, probably.
Yeah, he would. They would put. He would be a tight end, but he would be one of the rarest tight ends that you've
ever Gronk?
Seen.
Is he one of those guys?
Yeah, he's a Gronk, but 18 times better.
Gronk's like, one of the best ever.
How is he so much better?
Because he's faster, his twitch muscles, all the just – see what he does on the basketball court, right? His fast twitch, his footwork, his skill set, all of those sort of things. If you can translate that into what Gronk has done, imagine what you get from his athletic skill set alone. Okay? Gronk can't play basketball like no damn LeBron. So when you look at that, LeBron James, when I look at it and I think about it, LeBron James, to me, is the only basketball player. There's a difference. Keyshawn Johnson played basketball, but I was a football player.
Right.
LeBron James is the only basketball player that I can think of that could have done the same things in football. Now, you talk about, well, Tony Gonzalez played. No. Tony Gonzalez was on the team at Cal. He wasn't like that. Okay? Jimmy Graham was not like that in basketball. I'm talking about like that. You know, Antonio Gates played basketball. He was not like that. Right. So LeBron James is the only guy that I can think of could be Hall of Fame in both.
So I was just going to say, Key, you're saying he's a Hall of Famer. If he chooses a different path, if he decides that football is what he wants to go do, we're talking about him in the same exact way we talk about him as a baseball player, but as a football player.
You mean as a basketball player? Basketball player.
Yes, I'm sorry.
As a football player, you're talking about him the same way, dominant, all that. I promise you.
Well, who had a better chance? AI or LeBron? Because AI was dominant as a football player too.
But AI was
He's small. They
would have moved his position, and AI could have made some money as a defensive back or maybe a receiver. But that's about it. I'm talking about the tight end spot. But AI could have dominated. AI would have had to switch positions. He wasn't going to play quarterback.
Bill Polian.
Yeah.
Well, in a true form of things, yes. They weren't given a 6-foot AI opportunity to play quarterback. They weren't going to do that.
I mean, Key would have been issuing an apology a couple of years after AI becomes the MVP in the NFL. So you know what? I might have gotten that one wrong.
AI would have. AI was too small, though. He frail. He small. You know. But he would have been, you know, he didn't make money at playing defensive back, for sure. He'd have been a shut-down corner and made a lot of money.
With that in mind, you know, who are some other guys that you'd like to see try a different sport that are great athletes? Because here's the guy that jumps to mind right away. I know we've all seen this video. When the Angels went up to play the A's, a handful of Angels players went and watched the practice of the Warriors. And Mike Trout got out on the basketball court and was knocking down threes really easily. He had a flat-footed, two-footed leap, two-hand flush right underneath the hoop. So he obviously has some athletic ability. I don't think he's a basketball guy, but if you put Mike Trout as a linebacker or as a safety in the NFL with that speed, that power, that strength, those sort of athletic instincts, could he have gone out there, Key? Because I don't think that Mike Trout would have a whole hell of a lot of problem running around out there with those guys. Athletically speaking, he's on their level.
He probably could. I don't know what position he would play. Maybe strong safety, some sort of smallish linebacker, because he's not overly big at the linebacker spot.
He's 6'2", probably maybe 220-something, 230-something.
Yeah, so he's a small linebacker. That's a small linebacker and a big safety in the box. But he certainly could have played more. You see more baseball players being able to make the transition as either or. Deion Sanders, Bo Jackson. I could go on and on and on. Baseball, football guys where Dave Winfield could have been a hell of a football player.
Yep.
You know, but it's hard. It's very rare that you would even see a basketball player dominate, because first of all, what position is a basketball player that dominates going to play in the NFL? I mean, he's too big. Right? I mean, he's like LeBron is actually, other than tight end, he's too big to play. I mean, he could have been a defensive end, stand-up rusher, and probably made a whole bunch of money and been ridiculous at that. But those are pretty much tight end. A defensive end is pretty much what his body type and his athletic ability would allow him to dominate at the next level in the NFL. Mike Trout is a smaller in-between guy where he probably could have beefed up to 240. It been a linebacker or some sort.
Could he be Brian Urlacher? In other words, I mean, could he be something like that?
You know, Brian Urlacher might have been 255. you know, if he can get, if he would have been able to gain a little more weight, which I'm sure he would, because the training is different and the way you train your body is a little bit different. So I'm sure he could have.
Hey, you know what, Key? I sold Mike Trout a little bit short. I just, Mike Trout's 235 pounds, according to the internet.
Oh, so
sign him up.
So he's 235. He's, yeah, he could probably play linebacker for sure.
I would have loved to have seen Nate Robinson, a two-time slam dunk champion, play soccer. I would have loved to have seen him out
well, you know,
there.
Nate, you know, Nate played basketball. I mean, you know, Nate played, I'm sorry, you know, Nate played football.
He was a defensive back at Washington. He was a good one, too.
I know he played football, but I just, when I think about his quickness, his athleticism, his strength, I just think he would have just been just an absolutely beast of a soccer player, and he would have brought some snap, crackle, pop domestically that the sport has always missed, in my opinion.
Like, I would like if Chad Johnson would have tried to play soccer early on in his life and not football, he probably could have been good at it. He could have been really good at it.
You know, Key, you mentioned Bo Jackson,
Cinco, whatever his name is.
You mentioned Bo and Dion and those guys, and those were great NFL and Major League Baseball crossovers. That both of those guys were high level, MVP level, All Star level, Hall of Fame level players in both of those sports. I don't know if he ever touched a baseball bat in his life, but you know who would have been fascinating to watch play baseball because of his speed, because of his arm, and just because of his unbelievable athleticism? If you would put Michael Vick in center field, the way he could throw and the way that he could run, the way that he could steal bases, the way that he could create havoc, I wonder if he wouldn't have been an absolute nightmare on a baseball diamond.
He probably would have. Oh, jeez. The man is cleared of all wrongdoing, Raj.
He wasn't cleared. He paid the price for it.
He squared his account.
He cleaned it. Yeah, he squared his account, put it that way. For sure he probably could have. Because Michael Vick is built stocky. I mean, he was strapped pretty good, like a baseball player. His body type fits a baseball player for sure.
Man, I would love fast. To see
y'all
that.
Never seen nothing run like that in baseball.
You know what he'd be Ricky Henderson.
He'd be
a dude like Ricky. And I would open up this entire can of worms. But we talk about LeBron as the best ever, Michael Jordan. The dude that gets disrespected most when it comes to best ever is Ricky damn Henderson. That Ricky Henderson scored more runs than anybody. He hit home runs. He stole it. Ricky Henderson never gets mentioned. And
he ain't no good. He ain't that good. He ain't even top five stealing bases of all time.
All right, Paul Pierce, you got it right. Dan Shonka. Friend of the show, former professional scout. He's going to give us his take on LeBron James, the football player. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
LeBron James was a monster high school football player. 57 catches, 1,160 yards, and 16 touchdowns his junior year. Just how good could he have been? Joining us right now is Dan Shonka, a former NFL scout currently at OurLads.com. Friend of the program, Dan Shonka. Dan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, that's a pretty impressive guy if he would have stuck with football, I believe. But he had been almost as good as Key.
Well, that's saying something. Hopefully he didn't have the experience I had with all them bums at quarterback.
That's a good point.
But, Dan, when you looked at LeBron, obviously, from high school, and I saw him for the first time, not for the first time, but I saw a clip of him the other day, and I told the guys as we were watching it, I said, if I had a month with him right now at the age that he is, I probably could get him ready for training camp. The coaches could coach him up, and he would be a Pro Bowl caliber tight end.
Well, you know, I tell you what, I don't know if I could argue with you, Key, because here's a guy that you know, there's some things that translate, obviously, from basketball to football and vice versa with his explosiveness, you know, his vertical jump, his catching radius is just tremendous. He's got really good hands. I mean, obviously, not only – you know, catching the ball on the basketball floor. But when he was in high school, he only played 2 years in high school, you know, because he got drafted his senior year, you know, out of high school in basketball and the NBA. But, yeah, I tell you what, I don't know, it might take a little more than a month, but, you know, the thing I always wonder, Key, about some of the guys, you know, you get hit and beat up in basketball, but I tell you what, you get some pretty good licks there on the football field.
Well, the difference between LeBron and everybody else that thinks about messing around in football like an LZ Granderson is when you get hit, it doesn't feel good. He's experienced that. Even though it wasn't at the pro level, it was at the high school level. So he knows what the bumps and bruises in hitting the turf feels like. So I wouldn't necessarily be worried about that. And as far as getting him ready in a month, meaning I can teach him the ins and outs, how to run certain routes, because I don't project him as a receiver. I project him more as a tight end, not a frontline tight end, more of a flex type guy, where you could get mismatches on him and you could take some advantages, the Jimmy Grahams of the world, the Gronkowskis of the world. And I know Gronk is on his way to a Hall of Fame career, but if LeBron James had started and continued to play football, I think he would be a much better tight end than Gronkowski because of some of the things that you mentioned, the explosiveness, the fast twitch, his hands, his catch radius, all of those sort of things. I mean, the dude is explosive. I mean, you see him get up. And them courts ain't courts in the backyard now. Them ain't half-court sport courts. Them is real NBA-length courts that he gets up and down running.
That's right. Now, I tell you what, you know what? I would agree that he could be that flex guy, that tight end. Cause, I mean, you're talking about a guy that I don't know what he weighs now, but he sure looks like he's more than 240. You know, and I know he's around 6'8 and change. So
I think he's 265.
Yeah, I think you flexed him out a little bit. I mean, the mismatches, that's the key that you mentioned, is that here's a guy, who's going to match up with him? I mean, nobody. You know, you got everybody else, his ankles and waist, and they're going to try to knock the ball loose and all that. And now, you know, I mean, you don't know. Maybe you'll hear footsteps. Hey, I don't know. But he's sure a big target. It'd be intriguing to watch him play.
6'7", what's his 6'7", 265?
6'8", 265.
Yeah.
Hey, Dan, yeah. So, you know, and watching The Last Dance and Michael Jordan's foray into baseball, you could see that he couldn't recognize the breaking ball and his bat speed was a little bit slow. When you look at LeBron James, what do you think might have been an impediment to him having success in the football field? What would he might have struggled with the most?
Well, you know what? That's a super good question, because I don't know. Because, you know, he's a very good athlete, and if you got some athletic ability, you got size, you know, you got the quick twitch, you've got all that explosiveness. You know, it's a little different. Like you said, in baseball, you know, Jordan had a tough time. Hey, a lot of guys fall by the wayside every year. They can't hit the curveball. But I don't know that there's anything that, you know, just maybe the durability. Can he handle all those hits week in and week out? But I would say yes, he could. So I don't know if there's any real detriment or deterrent of him being, you know, giving it a shot.
And Dan, we talking about LeBron James's offensive side of the ball, because that's what we project him at in high school when we looked at him. If I lined him up at outside in a 3-4 or 4-3 and put his hand in the ground and allowed him to come off that edge in your job, if he can't, let's say you LZ, let's say you say, well, what, he can't catch, he can't do this, he's struggling at that, I got a position for him. Put your damn hand in the ground. See that dude? Go get that dude.
Right. Go widen out that 9 technique and get those hands up when you're rushing the passer and knock that ball down. But Key, you know this. A guy like that, he's going to be protecting those knees, because those guys start throwing blocks at his knees and things. All of a sudden, he goes, oh, man, I don't know if I like this stuff, you know.
Yeah, no, there's no question about that. There's no question that there's some things that he would have to get used to. But his athletic ability, his pure athletic ability, look, at the end of the day, he's the only guy that I said that I've ever seen that I believe could be in the Hall of Fame in both, had he started and kept with football the way that he did basketball. The only guy that I've seen.
I tell you what, I couldn't argue that, Key. He's just a tremendous, I mean, with his build, his naturally big boned, size, and that athletic ability. Yeah, I tell you what, I would vote for him too to go in the Hall of Fame if he had that kind of career. But, you know, here, you look at Bo Jackson though, before Bo got hurt, Deion, being a corner and then a second baseman or an outfielder, whatever he wanted to do. He would have been close.
Dan Shonka joining us here on the Sprint People's Hotline. You can find Dan online at rlads_Shonka, rlads.com. Dan, you mentioned Deion. Of course, Bo Jackson's on the list. He just said that he thinks that LeBron James might have ended up in the Hall of Fame had he gone towards professional football. Are there other guys, when you watch the NBA or Major League Baseball, when you say, you know what, that guy right there, that's a football player playing a different sport, who else could you pull out of the NBA or anywhere else and say that guy would have made it in the NFL?
Well, when I was with the Eagles, we used to go over and watch the 76ers play who was ever in town. You know, when we were at our draft meetings and things like that, at night we'd go over and, I tell you what, this sounds crazy. First time I saw him play, I go, God, that guy make a great tight end. It's Shaquille O'Neal, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I just saw him, I go, man, could he post up right there in the end zone and you just throw that ball to him right there? That's the first thing I thought of when I saw him play basketball for the first time. I go, man, what a tight end that guy'd make. But, he's kind of high-cut guy. But anyway, he would be the one that jumps out at me, I think, that as a football guy, this basketball player. But the thing is, when I was at the University of Kansas, I don't know if you guys remember a guard by the name of Darnell Valentine, and he played in the NBA for quite a while. A pretty good player. Okay, well, you know, everybody thought he was so fast and everything like that. Well, when we're timing in spring for all our seniors and everything, he wanted to say, hey, he said, hey, Dan, can I come over and run a 40? And I said, hey, sure. You know, you better check with coach, just make sure you don't pull something. But he said, no, that's fine. He said, I'll go. And so he ran a 40. But, you know, he only ran a 4.9. You know, and you think if you just saw him on the basketball floor, you'd say, man, that guy's probably 4.5, 4.6 guy, you know, but he ran a 4. So his big thing was his quickness. You know, he was super quick guy. I don't know. I think that, there's guys that probably Isaiah Thomas, he could be a corner. He probably could have been a cornerback, something like that, in there. And, I think then, of course, Randall L, when he was at Indiana, before he went in the NFL, here's a guy that could play basketball and play football. So there's a few, but I mean, at the level we're talking about, like LeBron, Hall of Fame caliber kind of guy in two sports, he would be one of the few. Bo Jackson, like I said, and then Deion,
I thought Allen Iverson could have switched positions and maybe been a corner. Because he was a quarterback in high school and was all state and Mr. Football and the whole deal. I said, somebody move him to corner, he could have played corner and been really good at it.
Yeah, good. Hey, Key, that's a good call, because when we were over, when I was with the Eagles, he came over there having a photo shoot there in the bubble, and Allen was there, and I asked him, I said, hey, man, would you like to go out there and line up there at corner? And he says, yeah, just tell me what to do, you know. But you're right. He was a great option quarterback in high school. And, he certainly, with that point guard mentality and hand quickness, short area quickness, he's another one that could have been. I don't know. I don't know if he'd want to, come up on run support and knock you out, but I think he certainly could cover.
Man, I don't want my corners hitting anyway. I want them to cover. That's what I pay them for.
Dan Shonka from OurLads.com. You can find him on Twitter as well, at OurLads_Shonka. Friend of the program, most importantly. Dan, thanks a bunch. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir.
You bet, you guys. Hey, stay safe.
All right. All right,
you got it. Take it or shake it. Coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. All right, let's start with what Dan Shonka just said, Key. Shaquille O'Neal would have been a monster on the football field. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it. Oh, shake it. No, too big.
He's a monster, Dan. Everywhere.
Man, I get Dan. Man, Shaq's 7 feet tall, man. So what's Shaq gonna do? What's Shaq gonna do on the football field? I've been to beat Shaq up. Talking about he going to play some damn football. Man, if you don't get your big ass and stay on that court and make them hundreds of millions,
let
nobody talk to you into playing no damn football.
Just like Mike Allstott was used at the goal line only because he could get in, could you not use Shaq in the same way?
Exactly.
Man, he's 7 feet tall. It'd be economic suicide. He's 7 feet tall. How many 7-footers do you see just walking around the streets?
Zero.
That didn't have no NBA experience.
But here's the thing. How does it feel if you're a coach knowing all you got to do is get to the 20 and have Shaq stand in the corner of the end zone for four straight plays?
Yeah, but then that pass got to be perfect. That 7 foot ain't going to work, though. I get Dan. I understand what he's saying. You're tall dudes. I got it. But that's too big.
That ain't Shaq Nevitt.
Shaq is a great athlete. Never mind, as a receiver. What if you put Shaq on the edge? Like you were talking about with LeBron, go get the quarterback. Who's blocking Shaq?
Shaq could have probably played. He'd have got chopped down on that defensive end, man. They'd have came and chopped him down. He probably could have been a tackle, a big tackle, like really big tackle. But anyway, when you 7 feet tall and you close to 300 pounds, and you dominate the NBA, you're not walking around driving UPS buses 7 feet tall. Shaq got hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank for a reason.
Let's move on to the
next one. I've always said, dudes, when I was in high school and in college, them 6'5", 240 dudes talking about they going to the NBA, it's like, man, if you don't get off the court and come play football and make your money and stop dreaming. I mean, think about it, though. It ain't a whole lot of 6'5", 235 dudes in the NBA, but it's a lot of 6'5", 240s in the NFL.
Absolutely. All right, let's go to Ohio State Athletic Director Gene Smith. He was on a conference call yesterday and says that as long as teams can get back together by July, that everything will be fine. There's no need to rush. Here's the AD at Ohio State, Gene Smith.
Well, I think July, by somewhere in early July. We need to not rush this, and I know everyone is anxious to do that, but we need to have the opportunity for our medical experts to continue to collect data, see how our human behavior responds in the reopening environment across the country. We can look state by state, but we need to take into consideration not just Ohio, but all other states. And so we need to allow time, which in my view may take all of June.
If teams can get back together by July, college football will be full speed ahead. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
All right, take it. Here we go.
As you can see, Ohio State is opening or scheduled to open, and they can open their facilities as of June 1st, which is a week away. And they certainly will take advantage of that, I'm sure, in getting their players back in. Different states and college sports, basketball and football, will start opening up facilities and allowing players to get back in and coaches to get back into their offices. The question will be what the NCAA will do in terms of scheduling classes and things of that nature. Some universities have online courses to be taken. Again, I argue that online courses are being taken now, even when school was in and there was no pandemic. So I don't understand what the difference would be. College football is about money. Gene Smith went on to also say their stadium holds 100,000+ people. He can envision, and there's a plan set in place for 10 to 20, 20 to 30, 30 to 40 to 50,000 people attending Ohio State games under this pandemic. They have their rules in place, and they have mocks that are done to warrant that. So we'll see. I mean, it's a long ways away, but we'll see.
Go to the idea. Let's just assume that everything's fine. Not the fans, but the green light go, health, and kids are on campus, the whole thing. But if the coach at Ohio State can't get his hands on his players until July and start getting them ready, because typically we've already completed spring football, that we're getting ready to go into summer camp and everything else. How far behind will the football be by the time we get to September? Will it look ragged? Will it look busted?
No, they're fine because they're training somewhere at some point. They go to training camp in August, typically in college. They're in camp in August. They're not in camp in July. The NFL's in camp in July. So if they're in school and in camp or doing some football acclimated things in July and then start training camp in August, then they'll be right on schedule. They'll be right back on schedule because in July, the coaches are not traditionally allowed to attend the practice sessions that the players hold themselves. The only thing they can do is look out over the field from their offices, which majority of college football and the Power Five conferences do anyway. The coaches allow the captains, the quarterback, the receivers, the DBs, put practice sessions together. They write out the script. They give it to them, and they say, you guys go execute it. They have an independent film guy film it for them so they can watch it on their own. So they're not going to miss a beat. They'll be fine.
Do you think that it's a situation where you could find more students being academically ineligible because the academic aspect of it is so broken up and it's so reliant upon?
I think they're going to be eligible. Think about it. Online courses with nobody really monitoring. Go figure.
That's my point.
I said eligible, not ineligible. Eligible.
I don't, think anybody's going to be academically ineligible after online courses.
Exactly. That's my point, LZ. I know you're a professor and you taught, but if you had any online courses and you gave out A's, I don't necessarily know if you gave them to the person doing the work. I'm just saying.
All right. Let's do this very quickly. Chad Johnson left a $1,000 tip on a restaurant check the other day. You have left a giant tip for no reason, Key. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Cheapy.
I ain't never left a giant tip for no reason.
Define giant been a tip. Reason.
$1,000 is pretty giant.
No, I said I ain't never. But first, if I left a $1,000 tip, my bill might have been $10,000, and it was.
Well, then that means you shorted them.
Well, I'm just saying.
Damn, Keith.
What's the most you tipped?
Cheapy.
What's the most I've ever tipped for a large party?
No, just because, you know what? I'm doing all right in the world. The universe is treating me well. I'm going to make this guy's day. I'm going to make this woman's day.
Chad Johnson's tab was $37.
Yeah, a couple hundred bucks. I've never taken it to the extreme of I'm going to give somebody $1,000 on $37. I'll probably give them a couple hundred on $37, depending on, you know, what's going on. I mean, I've tipped like that before, but I ain't just – walking in and dropping $10,000 down for a $2 bill and all. No, I'm not. No, wrong guy, man.
I've done 50% tips before. You know, the bill is, you know,
yeah, stuff like that.
I've done 50%.
Yeah, I've done things like that where the bill is X amount and I percentage wise, I've gone up from the 20 to, you know, to 35 to 40. I ain't doing that. And then I ain't posting it and doing that. I ain't doing that.
Wrong guy. You got the wrong guy. Absolutely perfect.
Cheapy.
Wrong guy, man.
You call me what you want to call me. Hey, it's vice versa. You give me bad service, I ain't got nothing for you.
Oh, so you're the guy. You're calculating it as the night is going. If the guy's a little late, okay, now we're down to 18%. He's
oh,
right on
for
time.
Sure.
We're going to give him 22%.
Oh, no. Like he's,
oh, yeah, for sure. No. Oh, yeah. Yeah, when you messing up my order multiple times and you got an attitude and somebody asked for something and you forgot it and they ask you again and you have an attitude and you slamming down the plate or you slamming down the water and it spills on a little bit and all that. Attitude? Oh, yeah, you might as well not even serve this table no more.
We need to dive deeper into your restaurant habits. That's coming up a little bit later on. Plus, we're going to get into Paul Pierce saying that LeBron James is not one of his top five guys. What is his problem with LeBron? That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.